I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations. Lamentations, if you need to go to your index to find it, Lamentations chapter number 3. Lamentations chapter number 3. Now we want to minimize the moving in and out. Let it be an emergency if you need to step out. Lamentations chapter 3. Find verse number 11 and then stand with me. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently. Lamentations chapter 3. I'm going to start reading with verse number 11. And I'll read through verse number 14. The Bible says, "He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow, and he set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people, and their song all the day." If you look back at me, the he here is God. And the reins is talking about the reins of the heart. And God was shooting for the heart. He was shooting for the heart. And let's pray. Father, bless us, please. Take what's said and in a supernatural way, challenge us with it. May our minds quickly grasp the truth of the day, please. Minimize the interruptions. And Father, get glory to thyself. Holy Spirit of God, do a heavenly work today, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. To the world, you are a mother, but to your family, you are their world. A mother is she who can take the place of all others, but whose place no one can take. Life does not come with an instruction manual, it comes with a mother. Mothers hold their children's hands for a short while, but they hold their hearts forever. Mothers are like buttons. They hold things together in life. A mother's hug lasts long after she lets go. Did you know that mom, spelled upside down, is wow? Moms are special. There are moms throughout the Bible, just incredible ladies. Mary, Elizabeth, Salome, Eunice and Lois, the mom-grandma combination, Hannah, Rachel, Rebecca, Eve, Jochebed, Sarah, Deborah. Over and over again, we see moms mentioned in the Bible. Women who had great hearts. Women whose hearts were special. Women whose hearts were in God's control. The sermon today is called, "Let God Control Your Heart," and especially to moms. We just read from Lamentations chapter 3. These words were used, "He hath caused the arrow of his quiver to enter into my reins." That he there is God. He's shooting arrows at a target. He's hoping for a bullseye. The target is the control center of the heart. God is telling us he wants to take a few shots at what truly controls us and our hearts. God wants the steering wheel of our hearts in his hands. The word reins there, it's the same word used to describe the equipment that we use to train a horse, the reins. That's that controlling device. And for you and I, they may have rode a horse, and then they got a horse-drawn buggy, and then they got rid of the horse, and it became a buggy, and now it's a vehicle that we have a round thing called a steering wheel on it. God was saying, "I want the steering wheel of your heart in my hand." Ladies, you're going to enjoy this. Men, just set and simmer. I did what all great men of God do. After reading my Bible today and praying for a long season, I Googled something. Men cause more driving accidents than women do on our roads today. Ladies, enjoy it. I go back to being a male chauvinist pig immediately after this service. But according to the national statistics, men cause more accidents than ladies do. Ladies, let me tell you something. God, in what we're studying, God is asking for control of the steering wheel of your heart. God said our hearts have a directional device, like a steering wheel. We're to be like a car, or we are to be moving through life, and God wants to make sure that the steering wheel, that heart, your emotions are in His hands. And ladies, I highly recommend that you want your emotions in God's hands. Emotions, if you know this, right? They do this. When my daughter Charlotta was little, I can remember times when I would be driving the car, and she might come over and put her hands on the steering wheel while I was driving. Can I tell you something that always worked well? When she had her hands on the steering wheel and my hands were wrapped around her hands, we had a safety and a security. God, ladies, wants you to get the right control of your heart. He wants to wrap His hands around your hands in regard to your emotions, your heart. He wants to guide you through life. Ladies, what type of driver are you with your heart? Are you a careless driver? Are you a daredevil with your heart? Are you hasty with your heart? Are you reckless, dangerous, risky with your heart? Remember, God wants, He's saying, I want the reins, I want the steering wheel of your emotions. Are you a drunk driver? Are you short-sighted, disobedient to the signs of the great God of the universe's book that He wrote as a manual to tell you how to drive on the road of life? Are you out of control with your heart? Are you thoughtless, desperate, unobservant, irrational, violent, rude with your heart? Self-centered, maybe? Under the wrong influences as you drive through life and your heart and emotions react and respond? God said, I want to get control of that heart. Ladies, I appreciate the extra sensitivity of a lady's emotion. God knows, where would this world be if it were not for ladies and their hearts? Men can be drab, boring, heartless, lunk-headed. Oh my, thank God for a lady that says, don't you think you ought to be a little kinder? And man saying, no, let them suck it up and take it. Let them bleed. Thank God for a lady's heart. Ladies, be careful though. You remember when you reared your child for 15 years and finally they turned 16 and they got their driver's license and you thought, oh my goodness, I am giving my daughter a 3,000-pound bullet to shoot at 55 miles an hour out on the road with a bunch of other 16-year-olds. It's kind of scary. Could I say, ladies, be careful with your heart. Watch that heart. And God said, I want control of your heart and your emotions. I'll tell everybody here, and again, in a special way, I want to talk to the ladies, but every truth I'm teaching today applies to men too. But ladies, in a special way, listen to this. Let me tell you something. When you go to taking control of your own emotions, that's when you mess up. If you let the supernatural one take control of your emotions, that's when stability, goodness, right decisions, any of us, me personally, if my, I love my mama, and my mama put a lot of time into raising me, and someone, I think it's Carol. I told Carol, I said, Happy Mother's Day. And she said, I almost said Happy Mother's Day back. I said, well, Carol, I am half woman. My mom was a woman. Well, I got to tell you something. My My mom, in rearing me, I have a piece of emotion in me that is, I think, just like anybody else's emotion. If I ever let my emotions go, I make havoc of things. If my emotions are set free to do what they want, oh, the mess that I can create. Ladies, can you associate? My. You got to be careful. Listen to this. I'm going to give you some points about this thing of God wanting control of our hearts, especially moms. First of all, let me say God sees our hearts. It says in Jeremiah 20:12, but O Lord of hosts, the righteous, and seest the reins of the heart. The Bible said God sees the reins. In other words, God said, I see the steering wheel of your heart and what you're doing with it. God sees the truth about your heart. God sees what others do not see about your heart. And I'm talking about both the positives and the negatives. But do understand something, folks. God, I'm not like Superman. I don't have that vision that can see through things, but God can. God sees your heart. He knows your heart. God sees what you do not see or do not choose to see about your own heart. Can I tell y'all something? Your heart has a blind spot. You know, when you're driving up the road, you know, you look to your left, you look to your right, and everything's looking real good. Just, you better be careful. There's always a bit of a blind spot. Now, folks, you do understand that our hearts, there's a blind spot. And there's sometimes we don't even see like we're supposed to see, but God sees it all. God sees your heart. God sees the truth about your heart. God sees if your heart truly is submissive, and God sees if your heart truly is pure, and God sees if your heart is tender. God sees if your heart is bitter or hateful. God sees that. All day long, every day, God sees your heart. Hey, and that, let that be a comfort to you as well. Ladies, you ever say to yourself, I just wish somebody understood my heart. Well, forgive us men. We don't always. We try. And men, you ought to try. Your children might not. But God always understands your heart. And God sees your heart. That's what it said. It says he sees the reins of your heart. But notice he's making an issue. He knows who has the steering wheel of your heart. Secondly, I think we say outwardly with our lips that we're under his control, but our hearts can be far from him. The scripture actually tells us that. The scripture says we will testify that God has our heart, but God knows that he really does not have our heart. Listen to this passage of scripture. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, it says, thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. He said, you're near in their mouth. In other words, they speak of you, they testify of you, but they're far away from you having control. In other words, oh, praise God. I love God. God is good. And that's what you do publicly. But that's not what you are privately. God knows when our life does not match our lips. Great preacher said your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. The greatest thing that anyone will ever do in their life, if you want to make an impact for Christianity, is make your lips match your life. Or make your life match the Bible. God knows when you say you give because you love him, but actually you did it so you could tell everybody you gave. God knows what's in your heart. God knows when you say, oh, I just lead and serve down at the church to glorify God. But God knows you do it because you want attention and you want praise and you want glorified. Can I tell y'all something? Humility is not necessarily that is something that is demonstrated publicly, though I think it should be. Real humility is found out in private because God knows what you're really doing and why. You tell others, God has my heart. Really, you have your heart, and you mask it with religious talk. You're going to do what you want to do, and you're going to react the way you want to react, and you're going to get what you want. God doesn't have your heart. you have your heart, but God said, oh, you talk about, you make a good public presentation of religion and God and submission, but on the inside, you have a hold of the steering wheel of your heart. I'm going to tell you why. Because some of you don't trust people. You don't trust men, and God's a man, and you have a hard time trusting God. So you're going to hang on to the steering wheel of your heart because you can't be trusted. Well, folks, I don't care how bad every man in your life has ever been to you. God is 110% trustworthy. God knows we talk a spiritual talk, but we're not spiritual. So God said, I'm going to take a shot. I want to hit a bullseye in the heart. And I want you to understand, I see your heart. I see what you don't see. I see what others don't see. But God assured us, He said, I see your heart. Not only that, He said, I see the steering wheel of your heart, and I know whose hands are on it. He said, secondly, we outwardly, with our lips, we proclaim I'm in submission to God, but on the inside, we are not, and God knows whose hands are on that steering wheel. We were talking about women drivers earlier, men drivers. I think this actually happened. A senior citizen, Brother Nofsinger, was driving on the highway. The Nofsinger was driving up the highway, and Jane, his wife, called him on the cell phone, and in a worried, frantic voice, she said, George, be careful. I just heard on the news there was a madman driving the wrong way on Highway 70. And George said, I know, but it's not that there's just one. There's all hundreds of them out here. Better watch that steering wheel. We'll get you in trouble. The Bible tells us about our hearts. God tests our hearts. God tries our hearts. Brother Morgan's brother had a seven-way bypass? Okay. He had a massive heart surgery this week. And you know what they want to do? They want to test that heart in the hospital before he gets out. They want to make sure it's healthy. They want to make sure it will sustain life. Now, God tests our hearts. God tries the heart. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse number 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. You know what he's saying? I'll test your steering wheel. He said, I try the reins. Those reins, that's the steering wheel. Test means I will put it through a trial. I will put it through a process. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 7, verse number 9, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts. In other words, God said, I'll test your heart. In Psalm chapter 26, verse number 2, He said, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. The psalmist said, God, I want you to put me through a test, and I want you to see that I am handling the steering wheel of my heart properly. And when I go through the test that I must go through, God, I want you to look and be pleased with how I handle my heart and handle my emotions. Folks, just so you all know, how you handle yourself physically will be based on how you handle yourself emotionally in a trial. When you're throwing yourself around and acting like a crazy person with your body, your facial expressions, and your voice and everything else, it is merely an outward expression of something that's going on the inner man and something that's going on in your heart or in your emotions. And so, God, here, the psalmist said, I want to go through a test, but folks, if I were you, I wouldn't be asking for tests. You're going to have plenty of tests without asking for any tests. You know, people talk about, you know, don't pray for patience because you will have a chance. You will have plenty of chance of proving you have patience without praying for patience. But if you want to pray for patience, go ahead. That's all up to you. But here, the psalmist actually said, I would like God to test me so He could see how I handle the steering wheel of my heart or my emotions as I go through a hard time. Folks, listen. The Bible does tell us that God tests or tries the heart. God may allow something to try you. Let's picture the steering wheel. And you're trying to steer your emotions God's way. You're trying to steer your heart God's way. God said, there are going to be some things come at you to test your steering submission, your steering ability. Hey, it may be something comes in your heart, your life to try to yank that steering wheel out of your hands or out of God's hands, if you will. You better learn how to hold tight to behaving the way God wants you to behave. You say, well, why would God test my heart? Why would God try my heart? If they test Brother Morgan's brother's heart, you know what they want to do? They want to know the truth about the stability of that heart. And when your heart is tried, God wants to test and find out the truth about the strength of your heart. Can I tell y'all something? If you want to go through life trying to fake me out, if I want to go through life trying to fake you out, we can all be a bunch of fakes. But wouldn't it be good if every once in a while you'd come eyeball to eyeball with a real you? Wouldn't it be good if I would come eyeball to eyeball with a real me? Wouldn't it be good if I really knew what my strength was and really knew what my weakness was? Every once in a while, I believe we face burdens and we face heartaches because God would like us to see the real us. The God of the mountain is still God in the valley. Folks, you don't figure out how strong you are on the mountain. You figure out what you are in the valley. You don't figure out what you really are when everything's peachy and all heaven is shining down on you. It's when all hell breaks loose in your life. That's when you find out what you really are. See, I wasn't frantic when I had all the money I needed. It's what were you when you didn't have the money you needed. That's the real you. Anybody can be fair weather Christians. You show me what you are when the devil has unleashed on you. God said, there are going to be some things come, and I can figure out how you're going to guide your heart, and it'll be revealing to you about the real strength of your heart. God is interested in the heart. Hey, Mom, God sees your heart. Hey, Mom, God knows when you've got all your religious talk, and you talk about submission to God, but really on the inside, you're self-centered. You're going to make your own decisions. You're not going to submit to the Word of God. And then God tries our hearts. We go through tests. And it's not to hurt us. It's to reveal to us the real us so we can strengthen our true weaknesses. Then God searches our hearts, the Bible says. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 23, it says, "And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am He which searcheth the reins of the hearts." God said, I seek the steering wheel of your heart. Searches the reins of the heart. God wants that steering wheel in His control. God wants to be in control of your emotions. Yet, recently, I seen something on the news where a car got out of control and crashed into a group of people and hurt a bunch of innocent people. Can I tell you something, ladies? If you're not careful, and the steering wheel of your heart get out of control, you'll take out some innocent bystanders. You'll tear into one of your kids when your kid didn't do anything to deserve it, but because your emotions were out of control. You'll say things you should not say and do things you should not do. Why? Because your steering wheel was not controlled with your emotions. God wants control. You say, how do you give God control? You give God control by your Bible reading and then living what you read. You give control by listening to the preaching and letting the preaching talk to your heart. If you're here to be entertained, you're here for the wrong reason. I don't preach to entertain. I preach to change lives. I preach to reach down to the depths of man's soul and dig up something that they don't want to face. I want them to see themselves as a real, real person that's got problems and issues, and I want them to come face to face with a mirror and look at themselves and say, I feel like He's talking to me. Hey, you'll figure out if this thing of how you give God control, you give it to Him by walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. But the Bible, God said, He said, I seek to have that heart. I've got a couple of points and I'll be done, but stay with me. I told you this. I said, God sees your heart, ladies. God knows when you've got all the religious jabber. Thank you. Those big words, a college graduate to help me with jabber, all that religious jabber. But you talk a good religious game. You can use the name Jesus and God and all that, but on the inside, that's not what you really are. And God said, I test the heart for your sake. God said, I search, I seek for your heart. God says, I want control. I want control of your heart. Psalm 139, verse 13, He says, for thou hast possessed my reins. Can I tell you the best thing any of us could do? Take the steering wheel of our heart and turn it over to God and say, here, God, you just take over. Put yourself on autopilot. Kind of scary today. You all do know there are cars out there on the road where there's nobody driving. There's not a human being in there. And in some cases, we're safer that way. I've seen some of the people we're on the road with. And at least when there's no driver in there, they can't flash any signs at me when they didn't like the way I didn't use my turn signal or whatever. But God said, let me have control. What's He saying? Give me that steering wheel. Trust me. Possession of my reins. He's the owner of my reins. It's in His control. You say, well, why would I want to do that? Well, let me explain something to you. If you're a Christian, He already owns your steering wheel because you're bought with a price. God wants control of your heart. He wants you to place that steering wheel, place that heart in His hands. He wants total control. You say, what do you mean by total control? Not just at church. There's somebody, there are words you would not use in this church building because you're religious, but you cuss your husband at home. You think that's how God expected you to act? Put up a front at church on Sunday and act like the devil on Monday? Some of you talk very good around good people, but you're two-faced. You can get around good people and talk good things and then get around bad people and talk trash. God knows that about you. God knows you're a trash talker. You're not faking God out, and so you know. People see through it too. Just we contend with our hearts to have selective areas of God's control. I'll let God control me on Sunday morning, or I'll let God control me on Wednesday night. Folks, listen, God wants to be in control of our hearts. He wants us to walk with Him and Him to be in control on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And so, you know, we have church here Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and there are all sorts of programs. He wants full control. Why? He's the owner. He's the owner. I have a goal. I prayed a prayer yesterday. We had a meeting. We have an annual youth conference that we host here at our church. And I was meeting with some of the men that are helping me to plan some parts of it yesterday. And I prayed a prayer because I'd been thinking a thought. And when I prayed the prayer, I said, God, I would like to do something as a result of this meeting that gets You excited and gets You thrilled, God. We tend to want God to thrill us. You know what you and I ought to be doing? We ought to be living our life with God's thrill in mind. I think God's heart rejoices when our lips speak the right things. I love this verse. Listen to this. Proverbs 23:16 says, yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Here's what God said. God said, my heart rejoices when your lips speak the right things. In other words, God's heart thrills when we use our words the right way. When I prayed that prayer, my whole thought was, God, I'd like to do something that thrills God. I wish God would look down from heaven and say, I am so excited about what they're going to do at that church, at that youth conference. I can't wait. I cannot wait. Does God ever think about that in any way, shape, or form about your life? Is God sitting on the edge of the seat saying, I cannot wait to see what God is going to do in that person's life. I cannot wait to see what God, what is going to happen. Is God, you think God sits on the edge of his seat for that? Or is it just, okay, here we go again. Put your seatbelt on, folks. It's going to be a hairy ride. It always is. No telling what's going to happen. Bouncing off the wall, emotions all over the place. Happy today, mad tomorrow, here today, gone tomorrow, dependable today, not tomorrow, cussing today, praising God tomorrow, in church now, but not the next time. God said, I hate being co-pilot. Take the bumper sticker off of your car. You know why I want God to say, I can't wait to see what today holds in her life. I'm just going to be thrilled at it. He said, yea, my reins rejoice. God said, I rejoice. I'm thrilled. I'm pumped. I'm excited. Over what? How they're going to talk today. Do you know a sign of your heart being in God's hands is control of your mouth? Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you're not talking right, God does not possess your heart. God does not possess your heart. James 3:3 says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. You know, you can tell a lot about people by the way they talk. Not just in public, but in private. Because everybody puts up a front. It's what you say behind somebody's back that tells us what you really are. People's hidden conversations are revealers to what they really are. I can guarantee you there are people in this room, and I'm just talking about in the pastor's presence, and I'm nothing but a dumb old sinner saved by grace. Boy, people can get around the pastor, and their conversations are just, they're very cautious on how they talk. Did you know something? God hears everything you say. Might be good for you to start respecting God. Your private words reveal what you are. I would warn everybody in this room. What you say on Facebook, what you say in your texts, what you say in your emails. You say, well, I'm only sending that to a select few. You ought not write anything to anybody that you wouldn't want the whole world to see. By the way, more people have access than what you think. And the government has access to it all. You might not believe that, but that's true. What kind of a driver are you? God said you have a steering wheel that's attached to your emotions in your heart. Are you irrational? Violent? Rude? Self-centered? Unpredictable? You ever riding with someone that suddenly changes their mind, they're going to turn left? So you think, next time I see it, I'm going to know which way to lean. Well, they fake you out. Next time it's right. Some people, their emotions are exactly like that. God said, get a hold of that steering wheel. Let me in control of your heart. Ladies, I truly love that extra heart that God gave ladies. I mean that. But ladies, because you do have an extra dose of a very great quality, that extra dose of that emotion and that extra dose of heart, you're going to have to work hard at steering it right. That which could be a great asset could also be a big negative too. So I compliment, I praise that extra emotion and love and heart that you have. Our society would be a wreck without it. But when it's misused, it wrecks our society. Ladies in a church that have it together, their hearts are in the hand of God, take a church to another level. Ladies in a church that will not get it together emotionally will destroy a church. Same thing with a marriage, same thing with a home. Use it well. Use it right. Your heart. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I welcome you to the Savior. This Savior loves you. He's interested in your heart. The Bible teaches everybody's a sinner, that there's a price on that sin, and that Jesus Christ paid that price with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And if you will ask Him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and be your Savior, He'll save you and take you to heaven someday. And you know what He'll do? He'll take a dirty heart, give it a transformation, and you can have a clean heart in the eyes of God. The sermon today is entitled, Let God Control Your Hearts, Especially Mothers. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this, if you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you say, Pastor, I don't know if I die today, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about that. I don't want to die and go to hell, but I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm born again. I don't know that I'm saved. Please pray for me. Would you please raise your hand and say, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Good, I see a hand. Somebody else, you say, I don't know that I'm born again. Pray for me. Who here would say, Pastor, if I died today, I know for a fact I'm saved. I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I know that for a fact. Would you let God see your hand very quickly? You may put your hand down. If you're not saved, if when we give this thing called an altar call, if you'll just step forward, I'll have someone take a Bible and very gently, and we won't embarrass you, show you how to be born again. Who here, first of all, and I'll start with mamas because I wanted you to get a little extra attention today. Obviously, it's Mother's Day. Would there be moms that would say, Preacher, today, this lesson on the heart, I'm going to take it to heart. I have been challenged. I think there's something that was said today that I needed in regard to my heart as a mom. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Oh, yeah, lots of hands all over the place. God bless you. You may put your hands down. If you need a moment in prayer, you come. Mom, if you need to come and just say, God, help me. I want my heart to be in your control. I want my emotions, my heart in your control. Throughout the entire crowd, teenagers, moms, dads, whatever age person, who would say, God, I needed to be challenged about my heart. And today, in this church service, I think I will be a better Christian because I heard something that I want to apply to my life. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? And we're almost on our way. You may put those hands down. Here's what's going to happen, folks. In a second, the pianist is going to begin to play. We're going to stand. Once we stand, we'll have an altar call, not to embarrass anybody. But if you need to come and pray for a moment, maybe you need to leave your seat and come toward the front and get on your knees and say, God, help me with my heart. Some of you need to hand that heart over, that steering wheel of the heart over to God. Some of you need to apologize. You keep yanking it out of His hand. If you need this altar, if you need to be saved, you come. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you needed a moment at the altar, you come. You come. If you need to come and say, God, soften my heart. God, help my heart to be in tune with Thee. You need to be saved. You come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Near to the heart of God, the pianist plays. God sees your heart. God knows when you talk the religious talk about your heart, but not you're not real. You just learn some religious language, but really, your heart's cold. Unsubmissive to the Scripture. So submissive to you, but not submissive to the Scripture. God tries and tests our heart. Sometimes the trial helps us to see what we are, see the lack of our faith, see our weaknesses. God searches or seeks our hearts. He wants control of our hearts. He wants to possess that steering wheel. And then He rejoices when our lips are used properly. We ought to live in such a way that what we do thrills the heart of God. Not that you are a constant challenge and a constant headache and a constant source of maybe hurt toward God, but His heart rejoices at the way you serve Him and love Him and what you do with your lips and your mouth. If you need the altar, it is still open. We have people that are yet being dealt with, and we're going to give them a moment. We're not going to rush them. If you're not saved, if you come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Hey, there's some of you, you've been saved and you've never been baptized. It might be time for you to surrender yourself for baptism. You let us know, we'll baptize you. If you've been saved and baptized after your salvation, maybe you would like to join the church. That is God's progression. You get saved, you get baptized, you qualify for church membership. It opens up so many opportunities. Maybe that's what you ought to do. Don't come under false pretenses. We're an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church. The old-time religion. We have standards, convictions. We have purpose in what we do. We're not playing religion here. While the altar call, while the invitation continues for a moment more, let me challenge those of you, if anybody in here, if you have a mama, maybe you've not reached out to your mom today, whether you're an adult or a child or a teenager, it's Mother's Day, and it is a very appropriate thing for you to let your mom know you love and appreciate her. So I didn't have any money. It doesn't take money to tell your mom that you love her. It doesn't take money to make a little phone call to her. There are all sorts of people in here that wish their mamas were still alive. I'll tell you, they'd be reaching out to mama right now. They'd be making sure mama knew. You say, well, my mom's not always been the best lady in the world. There are no such thing as a perfect mom. But I'll tell you what, if it were not for your mom, number one, you wouldn't have life. And number two, every mom has a goodness, even if you don't know for sure what it was. It's there. Some should leave the church service today and go call your mom. Get your heart straightened out. Go call mama. Tell you that you love her. If she's in the area, drop by and visit her. Do it in the afternoon so you can come back to church tonight. This is the last time through the song, and then in a moment we'll say a word of prayer and we'll be on our way. God wants control of that steering wheel, those emotions. If you look right this way, I like rousing preaching services where we're just loud and wild and strong. But I like church services that change us, challenge us where we live. Folks, be careful. The heart. Has a way to mislead us and misguide us. If you don't keep your heart in tune with God, your heart will mess you up really bad.